Welcome back. Illinois has long been known as an animal-friendly state with numerous laws on the books to protect companion pets and other animals. More were added during the most recent legislative session. And with us to talk about the laws and their meaning is Lidi Von Cabbage. She is a resident of Illinois and the senior legislative attorney for the Best Friends Animal Society. It's a national organization dedicated to animal protection issues. Lidi, so nice to see you again.
It's so great to see you, Don, as always.
You know, I have to admit, a surprise at learning that Illinois would be as pet-friendly as it is.
Number one. We're number one.
Well, what makes it so? How much attention is given to these animals?
You know, it's really interesting because lobbying in the legislature, people work in Illinois in a bipartisan fashion, which is somewhat rare nowadays.
Until recently,
Yeah. Like, so some things have broke down. But even with the breakdown this year with the budget impasse, mm-hmm. They passed around 7 good animal bills. One is that shelter pet – shelter dogs or shelter cats are now the Illinois shelter pet. The statewide pet, and we've gotten a lot of good bills passed. So even though there was an impasse on the budget, Republicans and Democrats came together to get good things done.
Why do you think it is that there is so much interest?
Well, I think, you know, people love their pets. Yeah. I mean, they are considered members of the family. We saw in, you know, Hurricane Harvey, people taking the animals out and, you know, going to shelters with their animals in Hurricane Irma. So we're seeing more people refusing to leave their pets and abandon them, which is great news.
Although there was some of that went on in Harvey in particular, it was heartbreaking to see people who had tied up their dogs and their pets to trees while they fled.
Yeah, no, that was very unfortunate. And in Florida, they are actually starting to prosecute some of those people.
But the laws in Illinois pertain not only to our companion pets, the dogs and the cats. Mm-hmm. I mean, other larger critters like elephants.
Right. So the Republicans would probably like that. Yeah. But yes, Illinois became the first state ever to ban the use of elephants in circuses. So no more traveling elephant acts at all in circuses. You can still go to the zoos and see them, but you can't, you know, put them on a train or a truck and take them to your local state fair.
There seems to be a growing move in the country to protect the elephants.
Yes, yes. And they need a lot of room, you know, to roam. And they get problems with their, you know, feet. So again, this is a very, very good bill.
You know, one of the things, and we've talked about this before on the program, when elephants come up, it's not every day that they do, but when they do, is the fact that there's been so much attention placed recently on their emotions and
yes.
the fact that they have emotions that are very much like our own.
They do. And if you see some of the videos from the elephant sanctuary in Tennessee, they are heart-wrenching, yeah. you know, of elephants being reunited with members of their family. So it's,
and
you know.
And mourning.
Yes.
Well, you can see them actual mourning the loss of a member of the herd.
Yes, it's so true.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on and talk about some of the things. We can take them off one by one. What do you think is the most important piece of legislation?
The one that's most important for our region is Senate Bill 641, and it's the feral cat bill. And actually, it allows local governments to spend money to sterilize feral cats, to do trap, neuter, and return, if they choose. And so we had St. Clair County has about $100,000 in their pet population control fund every year, and they already passed a community cat ordinance so they can start spending money to get the cat population down. Madison County, they passed a no-kill resolution. We're trying to get them to pass a community cat ordinance too. So it's really exciting because it's a common sense solution to reducing the number of cats and kittens that die in shelters every day.
Are there so many feral cats in Illinois or anywhere else?
Well, look at the rally cat.
There you go.
Indeed. In Busch Stadium. I mean, they are literally everywhere. And like last year, for instance, in Madison County, they killed around 800 cats and they killed about 281 dogs. So cats are really the main animal that's dying in shelters, and trap, neuter, and return to the places that have embraced it, they have a save rate of 90% for cats and kittens, which is huge, and it saves tax dollars.
What is the definition of a feral cat?
Well, actually, in Illinois, it's a legal definition under the Illinois Animal Control Act, and it is a domestic cat gone wild or a cat that lives on a farm. So barn cats are considered feral cats. And so if in St. Clair County, farmers can now get their cats sterilized through the Pet Population Control Fund.
Those cats that have gone wild and become feral, they can really exist and subsist very well, can't they?
They exist very, very well. And they have, pretty decent lives. Most of them are very, are healthy. And they, three to six families may feed them. So, again, we want to try to reduce the killing.
The subject that always comes up is the one about the breeders,
yes.
The illegitimate breeders, and the fact that a lot of the big pet store operations rely on these people to provide them their inventory, if you will. Anything along those lines?
Well, actually, it's interesting because now pet stores in Illinois have to microchip the animals that they sell. And this bill was interesting because it was started out by the breeders because they wanted to try to preempt home rule because Cook County and Chicago have actually banned the sale of retail pets in pet stores. So pet stores now have to get all their pets from shelters, which is, I think, kind of amazing. So they started out trying, this was a really horrible bill, but the animal lobbyists got involved and we were able to make it a good bill. Requiring some requirements for sourcing the animals. They can't get pets or dogs or cats from places that have violations. And so it's a sourcing requirement, and it does require all the pets to be microchipped.
Who oversees all of this? Who makes sure that this gets done?
Well, it is the Illinois Department of Agriculture, and because of the budget cuts in Illinois, it's been problematic. They used to have 14 inspectors. They're down to 6 inspectors now. So enforcement is not as good as it used to be.
Well, that's something to work on in the next legislative session.
The budget's a little harder.
Yeah. What else was passed this? And we should point out that only one bill has been signed, right?
They're signed, but they go the effective date.
Thank you for granting that. Yes. They go on January 1st is the effective date. Well, one that caught my eye concerns divorce proceedings.
And
now the animals have a little stronger position in divorce cases.
They do. Actually, judges now have to take into consideration the well-being of a pet if it's marital property. They can decide, they shall take into consideration the well-being of the pet as long as it's not a service animal. If it's a service animal, it obviously goes to the disabled person.
Sure. I would have thought that was something that would have happened anyway.
No. Pets are property. So, so basically a lot of times if the person bought it or if they, it was in their name at the vet's office, they would automatically get custody. And it was tragic because sometimes people would use the pets as pawns. They would take the pet and then they would take it to a shelter, instead of letting their spouse get it.
Sometimes children are used as pawns.
Exactly.
Use pets, pets the same way. You've been at this for a while, Lee.
A long time.
We don't want to go there. What is it that creates this bond between you and your pet, me and my pet, and people and pets?
It's an intangible, but I think it's part of our DNA. I mean, we evolved with animals, back in the hunting day, the Egyptians with cats. I mean, I think it's just part of our DNA. And there's so many health benefits for pets that it is truly, truly, a symbiotic bond. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've, again, been dealing with pets for a while. They have special qualities, too, that are used. You mentioned service dogs.
Uh-huh.
That for sure, but I'm thinking of their sense of smell, for instance, their ability to seek out people who are alive and dead and people who have been trapped in rubble and earthquakes,
Indeed. I mean, they service in so, so many ways. And actually, there's a new program through the Animal Farm Foundation that it's training shelter dogs to be drug-sniffing dogs, and police departments can get them for free. You know, so they have all this training for free. There is through Universal Canine based out of San Antonio. So it's a really cool program to help police departments in these budget restricted times.
You know, it just reminds me, and I'll send a video to you that I received recently. It's showing a dog, and its master had been very, very sick and lost about 150 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just a skeleton thin man.
Yeah.
And he was reintroduced to the dog, and the dog wouldn't go near him, and incrementally came closer and closer and closer, and finally got and sniffed him and realized who it was. It's an incredible piece of video watching the reaction of the man and the dog.
Well, and you know, and Best Friends is caring for a lot of the animals in Hurricane Harvey, and so it's so sad because some of them are in mourning because they, you know, they lost their home, they lost their family, and we're trying to reunite as many people with their pets as possible, but a lot of people lost everything. So it's somewhat sad. So if anyone wants to foster care a Harvey pet, they should contact bestfriends.org.
Okay, we'll put a link to that
on
our website. Are they easy or not easy to distribute to people who would like them?
The pets?
Yeah.
We actually have been having good luck in the Houston area with people volunteering and foster caring them. So it's good. But the problem we're running into in Houston is so many people are Spanish speaking, and then it has a huge Vietnamese population. Mm-hmm. So we're having flyers with the, you know, translated not only to Spanish, but to Vietnamese also.
Yeah. Well, again, it was really heartbreaking to see what some people did.
Their pets. I know.
You know, we talk about dogs and cats, but there are other creatures out there that people have. I'm thinking of livestock, for instance,
yes.
and horses, cattle, and what have you. Anything going on legislatively to help them?
The divorce, case handles companion animals. And so under Illinois law, a companion animal is indeed a horse, you know. So that is a tad bit different. So that's really about it. That we have another bill that was signed into law that veterans with PTSD or depression can get free service dogs through the Department of Corrections.
Speaking of the Department of Corrections, we've seen a lot in recent years about various programs that they have in these institutions
yes.
where they bring pets in. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, and actually that's what one of these programs is in Illinois. So
really?
It gives free service dogs to people with disabilities, but now they expanded it to veterans with PTSD and depression.
Well, what I was mentioning were just bringing pets in that were not service animals,
yeah.
but just to kind of bond with the inmates
yes.
and
– And it helps decrease the violence in the prisons.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Yes.
Is there real serious evidence that this works?
There is. And actually, one of the most innovative programs that I've seen is in Ohio, where they have with the women's prison, they have the pets of victims of domestic violence go and they take care of those pets. And then when the people are able to get back into their home or away from their abuser, they're able to get the pets back. But it's kind of a very, very nice thing that Ohio is doing in that regard.
We have a caller who wants to get into this conversation.
Great.
Let's bring in Val, who is calling from Kirkwood. Val, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, lady, it's Val.
Hey.
Hey, and I want to thank you publicly for all the wonderful things you've done for animals over the years. You're a wonderful advocate for feral cats and for pit bulls.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Val. Val is a longtime animal rescuer, too.
Well, Val, thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
She mentioned pit bulls, and we've had this conversation
yes, we
before.
Have.
And this is a subject that often creates a little controversy. People have mixed feelings about pit bulls. Where are we now with the public acceptance?
Well,
of the
actually,
pit bull?
I think we're you know doing pretty well, except maybe in Springfield, Missouri, they just passed a pit bull ban, and which is you know the first city in Missouri to do that for a long time. Mm. But we have 21 states now that prohibit breed discrimination, which is huge. So they have 21 states have provisions against it. There's, I think, going to be 3 bills pending this year in other states to get rid of it because it doesn't work. You need to focus on the behavior of the owner and the behavior of the dog.
The pit bulls, as we've discussed before, you believe get a bad rap.
I do. And actually, I have a little pit bull fight bus dog who my cats beat up.
Oh, really? What is it about them, do you think, that causes this?
I don't want to, like, you know, it does seem like there is some media bias, you know, that any short-haired dog is deemed a pit bull by, yeah, well, you used to train police back in the day. Mm-hmm. And when they're doing their reports, they don't put down if a ring is gold if they don't know it's gold. Mm-hmm. But many times they'll write in their report if a dog attacks and it's got short hair that it's a pit bull, mm-hmm. without doing any DNA analysis at all. So again, you know, looks don't matter. You can't judge a book by its cover. You know, you focus on the behavior and that's it.
Many people don't realize that the dog in Spanky and our gang is a pit bull. Petey is a pit bull. You know, and
I love Petey.
And the old brown shoe logo with Buster Brown. I live in a shoe. That's my dog, Ty. He lives there, too. The pit bull. In World War I, they used pit bulls as part of the recruiting posters.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and Stubby, World War I veteran, he was a pit bull. Yeah. You know, so again, they're just dogs.
And very loyal, from what I understand.
Yes,
not
indeed.
To be an advocate necessarily for them, but I think they maybe do get a bad rap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Missouri doesn't do nearly as well as Illinois.
No, Missouri, according to the Animal Legal Defense Fund, is number 36 compared to Illinois being number one for animal laws. Mm-hmm. So it could do a lot better. But, you know, again, you see such impasse. Like we tried to get a bill to get rid of breed discrimination passed in Missouri last year with the Kansas City Pet Project. Mm-hmm. Kansas City Pet Project, they run a no-kill shelter for all of Kansas City. They do wonderful work. So we partner with them to try to get something passed. And it got through committee, you know, without a problem. But then it just died. I mean, nothing really was moving. So, you know, we're hoping to try again.
And I guess Missouri still has a reputation as a puppy mill state.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, but, you know, the past regime, you know, the governor's office of attorney generals had cracked down on it quite a bit, mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of breeders did get out of business. So I don't know what's happening right now.
Let's talk a little bit about the organization that you represent,
yes.
The national organization, Best Friends Animal Society. Tell us what that's all about.
So basically, we are a national organization aimed at stopping the killing of dogs and cats in shelters. We hope to get the entire United States to no kill by 2025. And it's by doing progressive programming like play groups for dogs to keep them stable and sane while they're in shelters, to, you know, the community cat programs, the trap, mm-hmm. neuter return, you know, the common sense approach to feral cats. So basically there's so many tools now, and there's about 400 communities in the United States now that actually is no-kill, meaning that you're saving 90% or more of the dogs and cats that come in. And that's huge compared to when we were growing up, when, you know, like most of the dogs and cats never made it out alive.
What happens to the dogs or cats that aren't euthanized now? I mean, you have a large population then of animals that survive.
You do. And again, with trap, neuter, and return, a lot of the cats are being, you know, given back to the area where they came from, and to reduce the population and the effect. And a lot of people are adopting animals now, which is great. You know, we see a lot more people coming to shelters, and shelters being more welcoming than they used to.
I see a lot of young people in the parks, you know, young adults with dogs. It seems like they all have them. And one of the things I wonder about is young people, they're busy, they have jobs, and they go out and recreate at night, leaving perhaps an animal alone too often.
Yeah, but Don, I mean, a lot of people now are working at home too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been this transition that, you know, a lot of people do work from their home office now, so they can spend more time with their pets. So it is an interesting transition.
So it's better to have a dog, and even if you don't spend maybe as much time as the animal needs or a cat,
yes.
At least the animal is alive and being cared for.
Indeed. And like cats can be pretty independent, you know, and you can you can leave, you know, like a feeder out, you know. So, you know, you can go away for a weekend and leave your kitty without worrying about it. Dogs, not so much.
People take their pets seriously. I'm just receiving a note here that people have cameras in their homes and set up so they can communicate with the animal. When they are not there.
It is true. Yeah. And they can give treats out. You know, I have some friends that do that. Mm-hmm. And my little, you know, pit bull used to go to a doggy daycare center. And I would, you know, like click on and watch her playing with other dogs. So it was always fun.
Only about 30 seconds left. Anything more you need to tell us about what Illinois is up to?
No. But, you know, again, if anybody wants to adopt a hurricane animal, go to bestfriends.org.
Okay. All righty. Well, hope you get a lot of business in that regard, Lady Von Cabbage. Always great to talk to you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Don. You too.
All right. Thank you. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/ STL On Air. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.